If you're anything like me, you make mistakes. And I have noticed that most of the time I make mistakes, it's during moments of chaos. But what if there was a way that we could better manage chaos? Welcome to Fathering Our Future. I'm Anthony Van de Griff, not the perfect dad, but every day I am trying to be better. Sometimes that takes a whole lot of work and it's not always easy, especially during moments of chaos. And while it might appear nice to never have to deal with chaos again, that would actually be a pretty bad thing. There's a purpose to chaos, and I'll talk about that today, but chaos will come our way. And what we need to learn how to do is we need to learn how to manage it. So that's what I want to do for you today. I'm going to give you some practical tips on how you can better manage chaos. If you want to be a part of helping dads grow as disciple makers and making them aware of fathering our future, you can help. And here is what I want you to do. I want you to leave a 5-star rating for this podcast and write a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you'll take a screenshot of that and send it to me at fatheringourfuture@gmail.com, I have a gift for you. I wrote a book called Cut the Crap, Direct Tips for Becoming a Dad. I cannot send you the physical copy, but I will send you the electronic copy of this book. And technically, you'll get a little bit more because the ebook has additional references that are linked all throughout it. So this is my gift for you for rating and reviewing this podcast. Again, send that to me at fatheringourfuture@gmail.com. And by doing that, you're helping create awareness of this podcast, and ultimately, you're helping dads grow as disciple makers. Our scripture for this week comes from Psalm 46. I'm going to read verses 2 through 10. It says, "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, 'Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth.'" Chaos is one of those things that we try to run away from, but it always seems to catch us. We cannot escape chaos. And the reality is, when you have kids, you have chaos. It's not like they're little monsters, even though in some cases they actually act that way. You are caught in the middle of this collision of energy and excitement and ignorance and wonder and curiosity. And then you have your mature, adult, experienced expectations and the way you think the world should function and how you think you ought to operate within that world. And then here come your kids, and they push the envelope, and they try out everything, and they're constantly learning and taking in information, and they have this great fear of missing out on any little thing that could happen. They never want to take naps because they know this is a moment of time where I miss out. I don't get to do something because I'll be asleep, and it could just be a whole lot of fun. I think when we stop and we look back, yes, the moments were crazy, but it's kind of nice to have had the crazy in at least my life. Maybe I'm speaking only for myself and maybe you don't feel that way, but I think if you will take the moment to just stop and pause and laugh about some of the chaotic moments in your life, they'll bring you joy now, even though they probably didn't give you that emotion back then. I mean, I can think just for a moment here, we took our two kids to Disney. My son was 2 years and about 5 months. He was almost 2.5 when we took him. And my daughter Reagan was 6 or 7 months. So we were carrying her around. She was strapped to us most of the time. But my 2-year-old, who gave us no impression that he was dealing with terrible twos, he came alive when we got to Disney. He went through the entire Terrible 2 phase the whole week we were there. It was traumatizing. It was chaos. It really was. I told my wife halfway through the trip, I said, I will never take him back to Disney. He will have to be 33 years old before I ever reconsider this. Now, it took me some time to ever cave on that. I think I'm more willing to take them to Disney again now, but that's a recent development in my life. He is 7. So it's taken about 5 years for me to come back to terms with the idea of maybe we could take the kids to Disney again. It was that bad. It was chaotic. It was horrible. And the reality is I'm probably better off today as a father than I was then. And that might play a part in it, but all the chaos and the moments of chaos set aside, I want to help you today with chaos. I'm still not the perfect dad. I still don't have it all figured out, but I have learned some things about chaos that I think are very helpful for us. So the first thing that I want to talk about is what causes chaos. I think the biggest cause in chaos that we have as parents is reality versus our expectations. We expect life to function smoothly. And this is just the expectation we have anytime we do anything. When we are driving in the car, we don't plan for traffic. We might leave early thinking that it might happen, but when we get in the car and we get stuck in traffic, what do? We still yell at someone else, or we still get upset, or we still get frustrated that we're stuck in traffic. Even though we planned that maybe it could happen, when it does happen, we're not peaceful because we expected it. Because deep down, we were really hoping that it wouldn't happen. You go out to eat and you expect to have a nice evening. You expect your server to be kind, to get your order correct, to come back to the table regularly, to refill your beverage or whatever it is. And when you don't get that, you get really upset because the reality clashes with expectation. And when you have kids, there's a whole nother topic on resetting and adjusting expectations. You could probably actually find some of that content if you just go back and search the podcast, but that's a big thing that we have to work on ourselves because, again, our kids are curious. They want to touch, they want to feel, they want to experiment. And the reality is we need to let them do things like that. We need to give them the opportunity to learn and to develop and to grow. But there's something that we can do to actually prevent chaos. But I'm going to save that for the end because I want you to stick around because I think it's smart if we can do this. It's not going to eliminate chaos and it doesn't need to, but it will prevent a lot of the moments of chaos that we probably find ourselves experiencing. But what causes chaos is we have this expectation that life will just go smooth and nice and dandy and nothing will happen. And then little things happen and it throws us off the course that we were on. And then we overreact because we don't really know how to deal with expectations not playing out the way that we want them to sometimes. And then that just spirals out of control. And we add to that chaos when we don't know how to deal with expectations. I think about something that most fathers can probably relate to. In the past, I've taken my kids to Home Depot with me. And I expect to walk in, grab 2 or 3 items, and leave. I'm efficient. I'm like Ron Swanson. My dad's a general contractor. I'm pretty handy myself. I walk in there, and I'm pretty confident, with the exception of some of the guys who've been working there since they were 12 and did a bunch of other stuff. I think I know more than most people in these stores. So I walk in, and I do my thing. I know where everything's at. I know how to find what I need. I go about my business. It should be a quick trip for me. But when I've got Frankie and Reagan, for example, walking with me, it's not so quick. And there have been moments where I've wanted it to go quick and it's not quick with them. And it gets frustrating because it starts to generate this chaos because there's a collision of expectation and reality. When the truth is, I should know that my kids are going to be fascinated by some of the weird stuff that they see in Home Depot because they've never seen it anywhere else. They're going to find a screw on the ground that is not useful, which is probably why it's on the ground. And they're going to be like, Dad, look what I found. Look how cool this is. And if I have not adjusted my expectation to understand that my kids are kids and that they're going to think some of this stuff is neat, then I'm going to get frustrated at things like that. And I've done that in the past. So one of the things that we need to understand is probably the main cause of chaos is the collision of expectation and reality when we have children. So if we can adjust that expectation, that can play a role in preventing chaos. Now, that's not the preventative measure that I want to talk about, but that is a part of it. So let's adjust the expectation. But even when there's the adjustment, sometimes things just get out of control. Sometimes things are just so chaotic and we feel like we have to react rather than respond. And this is why I selected Psalm 46 for our text this week, because this is a text of chaos. Everything is in motion. The earth is quaking. The waters are moving. There is motion and action, and everything is chaotic. And what is the advice that we are given by God in that period of chaos? Be still. Be still and know. This action of being still is tied with knowledge. It is associated with this knowledge that everything is going to be okay. And this is something that I think we need to realize as fathers. Yes, in the moment, it can be something that we easily blow out of proportion. But if we will just take a moment and realize this is going to be okay, we're going to get out of the store. We're going to make it back to the house. At bedtime, everyone will fall asleep eventually. I will get to rest. I will wake up the next morning and we will have another go at a new day. Having that knowledge that it's all going to be okay is part of being still. It helps you understand that I can be still. I can pause. I can be patient. I can take this moment and choose to respond instead of choosing to react, because I know that at the end of the day, everything is going to be okay. That's one thing that we need to know. We need to know that we have to be still. And the reason that we can do that is because we have a knowledge that everything is going to be all right. But when we are choosing to be still, what we're choosing to do is have self-control, to have composure. This is externally and this is internally. Maybe for you, it's taking a deep breath. It's a inhale and it's an exhale. Maybe that's what you need to do to just pause in the moment before you react, to be still. Maybe it's just a mental thing. Maybe you just remind yourself, this is going to be okay. Maybe you remind yourself, I had really bad expectations for this trip. Let me reset. Just take that moment and just have self-control, because the worst thing that we can do as fathers is to join in the chaos. Because when we react, that's what we're doing. When everything else around us is moving, we're instructed to be still. We're not instructed to start moving with everything else, because then we become a part of the chaos. Something that is momentary, that will be forgotten, if we jump in and we start acting chaotic, can be something that leaves a lasting impression. Because what do? When we join in on the chaos? We try to be the biggest flame represented in this inferno that we find ourselves in. We try to fight fire with fire. And I think I've said this before on the podcast, but there's better ways to fight fire, namely water. Don't join in the chaos. Don't become chaos. Don't start acting like a bigger child with your children, thinking that this is going to be what resolves the issue. That's not what we are supposed to do. We are instructed and we are called to be still. And when we choose to move, eventually what we get to is trying to one-up children. Doesn't that make you feel really big? You one-up the child? I bet that makes you feel really good. And when you actually take a moment to realize, oh, that's what I did. I just tried to show my child that I was bigger and better than them, that they have to listen to me because I'm bigger than they are. Is that really what we want to do? Is that really the reputation that we want to have for ourselves? Is that really something that plays into our character and our integrity as disciples of Jesus Christ? I don't think it is. I mean, you wouldn't go tell all your buddies, yeah, I played a five-year-old in basketball today. He's actually a very short five-year-old, so the score was 1,000-0. I'm pretty cool, right? The fact that you beat a child, whether it's in a game or whether it's in an argument, there's no value in that. You becoming a big kid just has all eyes set on you as, okay, he's not a man. He's not acting like a father. He's not acting mature. He's not acting like an adult. He's not acting like a dad should act. So be still. Have self-control, whether it's the deep breath, whether it's the reminder of this is going to be okay, whether it's the realization, hold on, my expectations were awful. Let me see if I can make an adjustment and let's see if we can deal with this. Because what we're supposed to do, in addition to being still, is we're supposed to emulate our Father. We're supposed to follow the example that our Father sets for us. So if you go all the way back to the beginning of the book in Genesis, we have this pattern that we see throughout the Bible. In the beginning, we see darkness, void, and chaotic waters. And the Spirit of God moves over the waters. And from that chaos comes goodness. God begins to speak, and God brings goodness out of the water, but then God takes what was chaotic and makes it something that can support life. That's what God does. There's fish of the sea that live and flourish in what once was chaotic waters. This is what we are supposed to do as fathers. This is why being still is a part of that, because we control ourselves. We remind ourselves of what we are supposed to be doing. And then we speak to the storm. Then we speak to the chaos. Then we deal with the chaos with the intent of bringing peace and goodness where chaos once was. This is not to dominate. This is not to take control. I am not saying don't be assertive. I am not saying don't get the situation under wraps. I think depending on where you are, there are certain things that you should do. For example, if you're out at a restaurant, yes, if people go to a kid-friendly restaurant and they expect it to be a quiet evening, that's on them. But because I think we ought to have a care and a love for others, if our kids are acting like maniacs and we're unable to control it and contain them in that moment, take them outside and let them cool off before you go back in. Yeah, it might mean you have a cold meal from time to time, but it's not about you getting a nice warm meal. It is about you bringing peace and goodness where chaos once was. That's what we're supposed to do. And this is why we need to have the right expectation. This is why we don't join in with the chaos with our children. We choose to be still, exercise self-control, and then we emulate our Father. We take what is chaotic and we bring goodness and we bring peace. That is what we are supposed to do. Now, I want to give you why, I want to give you something that I think can help us prevent this chaos. Oftentimes, when children act unruly, you see this a lot in school, it's because they don't get to do it at home. When kids act out, it's usually because they don't get to do it at home. Kids have energy, curiosity, excitement. They see the world and they see wonder. And they want to experiment. They want to touch, taste, see. Even if it's dirt, they still want to taste that too. That's how kids are wired. So if you want to help prevent some of the moments of chaos, rather than being so uptight all the time, maybe you encourage chaos within controlled and contained environments. For example, some of the things that we do at the house. My wife has found these little exercise videos on YouTube for kids. And we'll play it on the screen. Sometimes we'll participate. Sometimes we just sit back and laugh, because watching your kids attempt to do even the simplest exercises is very amusing. I would highly recommend that you try this. But you give your kids something to do. And then our kids think, oh, I'm exercising. This is good for me. And it's fun because The video is exciting. I get to jump around. I get to do this in my house. This is great. That's one of the things that you can do. The other thing that you can do that we have had success with, dance parties. Play some good music. We have had lots of fun dance parties rocking out to some of the old 80s hits. They are fun and upbeat. Be selective, but they get you moving. And our kids have had fun with that. We find other songs from different movies, different places, and they like to sing. They like to dance. We got them a little karaoke machine so that they can sing along with the stuff. And they love it, but we allow the noise and the chaos and the fun and the excitement in the house. We allow them a space to be chaotic, to be curious, and to have fun. My kids still ask me to play Pastor Benny. This is the little game I made up. It's just the name I made up for me wrestling with the kids and laying them out on the floor. I thought, what better to call this than Pastor Benny, because I grew up laughing at the videos anyway. That's beside the point. But play games with your kids. Get on the floor where they are at. Be involved with them. Take them out for walks. Do things with them that get them moving, that allow them to be curious. Let them go out and play in the backyard. My son the other day dug up a snail that was giving birth. I didn't even realize that snails did that. I mean, I assumed that somehow, some way they reproduced, but he literally got it out, put it on one of the boards of the fence, and watched the eggs come out of this snail. I thought, this is fascinating. And I was really hoping I wouldn't have to have a birds and bees talk with him yet. It's probably coming next year, but still, they get to do things like that. And then the wonder that they believe is out there in the world, they get to find and they get to see. So if your kids are acting out at stores all the time, it could be that they're not getting to act out in controlled environments. You might be depriving them of their curiosity. And we can't do that. This is an opportunity for them to learn. This is an opportunity for them to grow and for them to develop and for us to be able to teach in these moments. So if you want to mitigate the chaos and the chaotic moments that you have with your kids, I would highly recommend that you make time for them and you're chaotic with them in controlled environments. If you will do that, I think you will see an increase of peace when you visit Home Depot with your kids or go out to restaurants. If you give them the chaos, you give them your time, what they value as your most valuable and precious commodity, if you give that to them, they won't always be trying to take it every opportunity that they have. You can have the talk with them going into the store saying, hey, this is not a playground. This is not where we're going to do this. We'll do some stuff later, but not here. Let's get in. Let's get out. Let's get closer to when we can be chaotic. And maybe we'll actually go to a playground or do something fun like that. You cannot deprive them of fun. You cannot deprive them of their curiosity. You have to let them be chaotic. So if you will be intentional about chaos with your kids, you will mitigate the chaos that comes at times that you really wish it wouldn't. The last thing that I want to leave with you is the purpose of chaos. Now, while it might be nice to never have it, you need to have it. There was a really interesting study that happened several years back now, probably over a decade now, but some scientists created this biosphere, this biodome, and they had plant, vegetation, trees in this little biodome. And what they came to find out is trees were falling down. And they didn't understand that. They thought it would be a safer environment. But what they came to realize is that without the wind, moving the trees side to side, back and forth, the trees never deepened their roots. We have to have chaos because it gives us an opportunity to yield to God's Spirit. And what I mean by that is self-control is one of the fruits of the Spirit. If you go and you read Galatians chapter 5, you start at verse 22, you'll read the nine fruits of the Spirit. And one of them is self-control. When we choose to be still, this isn't an act of willpower. This is an act of yielding to the leading of God's Spirit, prompting us to have self-control so that we can then yield to the leading of God's Spirit and dispense peace, which is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. We need the chaos because it gives us the opportunity to let go of our selfish desires and our will and to embrace His and to allow the Spirit to work in us. And the more we do that, the more chaotic moments we have and the more we yield to God's Spirit, the easier it becomes and the more we're likely to do that. And that's the place that we need to get to where this might be crazy and wild and completely out of my scope and capacity and ability, but you know what I can do? I can yield to God's Spirit and I can allow Him to guide me and I can allow Him to work through me. I might not understand it. I might not know exactly what to do, but if I yield to the Spirit of God, I can trust that God's got everything in control. So while you might not want chaos, I think you need a little bit of it at least because it gives you the opportunity to grow spiritually. So let me just kind of recap everything for you. So when we talk about preventing chaos, initially, I think it's caused by expectation clashing with reality. You adjust your expectations, you help prevent that. The other thing that you can do to prevent chaos is actually get chaotic with your kids at home or at a playground, somewhere in a contained, controlled environment where chaos can flourish. Be chaotic with them, and they won't always have to be chaotic. So fix your expectations, actually join in the chaos at the right time. And then when chaos does come, because it still will, choose to be still. Have the knowledge that everything is going to be okay. We're going to make it to tomorrow. We're going to make it to another day. We'll get through this season of chaos. It will happen. Know that and choose to yield to God's Spirit. Choose to let the Spirit give you the ability to have self-control in the moment and then allow the Spirit to also use you to give peace and to give goodness and to take what is chaotic and to make it something beautiful. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You, weirdly enough, for the chaotic moments in life. We understand that they serve a purpose. We understand that they help us grow as disciples. They help us grow spiritually. And while we might selfishly not want these chaotic moments, we're choosing now, God, to thank You for them. And we ask, God, that You would sensitize us to the guiding and to the leading of Your Spirit so that in these moments of chaos, we choose to yield and we choose to allow You to work through us, to help us be self-controlled and to help us dispense peace and goodness where chaos is flourishing. Help us, oh God, to emulate You in everything that we do as fathers. Help us to change our expectations, to understand that this isn't just a role, this isn't some sort of a performance, but this is an identity that we bear, and that at the root of who we are as fathers, we are raising disciples. And to do that, we have to teach. We have to not stoop down and be a kid, but we have to serve the kid. Help us, God. Help us to have the right mindset. Help us to get over being selfish, even though it's so easy for us to do. Help us to value Your mission in the world. Help us to be sensitive to the leading and to the guiding of Your Spirit. And in these moments where chaos comes, God, help us to be still and help us to bring peace. Help us to bring goodness. And in all of this, let this be a part of what we're doing to make disciples for You. And we ask this in Your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, I am with you on this journey called fatherhood. If you need anything, if you have questions, if you hate the podcast and you just really want to tell me about it, I don't care. Whatever it is that you need, if you have questions, want help, you reach out to me, fatherinourfuture@gmail.com, and I will be happy to help you and serve you however I can. But for now, this is Father in Our Future. I'm Anthony Vandegrift. Thank you so much for being with me, and I hope you will join me next time. I want to thank you again for listening to Fathering Our Future and for endeavoring to grow as a dad. But I want to ask you to become more than just a subscriber. I want to ask you to consider becoming a supporter of Fathering Our Future. Whether it's a one-time gift today or a monthly commitment, whatever you give, it's not too small. It will contribute to Fathering Our Future, continuing to grow and to expand and to reach dads. All you have to do is go to fatheringourfuture.com, click the donate button, and give whatever you would like to give. Thank you, and God bless.